Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when Minor Hannah joins me to talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. And just follow the directions, call these 17702. Or you can participate on the web, this go to Talk's website at www.talkshow.com. Search for quality 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games, FranzGemes. And of course, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my account for this podcast, that's sfuoncall. And that's sfuoncall. Also, if you want to follow me on my personal account, that's Paul Franz. So to find me, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And, of course, I have my company account, which is Franz Games, FranzGemes. And, of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. We have coming soon to our shop on Shipways, as, of course, the Federation Police Cutter, the Culligan class, which is going to be quite cool, has operational identical to the Masterson class with the straight engines, but the Culligan class has angled engine struts. Also, Steve Cole is busy working on Cabin's Log number 53 this week, and also the Gorn Master Starship book, and of course, Shapeways, big surprise. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates and also on the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy, of course, with Facebook, as always, and also uploading things to Shapeways and managing the Twitter feed and also keeping the spammers off the BBS. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments for this week, because I forgot to check with Seth when it comes to the convention that happened, tournament that happened a couple weeks ago. I will contact him and give you an update next week. So moving on to the SFB Online tournaments, not much progress there. We have the Masters tournaments. We have five games yet to be completed in round one, and only one game completed in round two. Rat 48 run by Ron Bronmeyer. All but one game has been completed in round one, but only one game has been played in round two. Moving forward to the actual library, the only thing that's been done there is actually updates from Frank. Those will have been posted when you hear this. And also, the completed conversions still stay at 2,426. They have to be converted 906. It's August. We gotta get these things worked on. And yet, the percentage complete is 72.8%. It's stuck there, sorry. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just, well, me and Dave at the moment. But hopefully, we will get more people to join us. Hopefully we will be using TalkShoe. Actually, it looks like Dave says now that he can hear something, and unfortunately, that's a little sucky part of the new interface, which is one thing we will be discussing this week, as strange as that might sound. And that is the revisions of TalkShoe. They gave us 2 weeks to adjust, and then they went, here's the new interface, thank you. It's like, okay. You know, here's the crazy part about the whole, okay. Let's start off with the new interface. New interface looks nicer. I will agree there. It's a lot more chatty, a lot more like a web conference for the most part. Looks like if you wanted to, you actually can record video. Currently, I don't have a video set up at all because my laptop is in clamshell mode. So the camera is unavailable, and I don't have another external camera available. And at the moment, I'm not sure if you guys even want it, though I understand the whole idea of recording video, because I know some people, they like videos, even if you just have a talking head, you know, because Lord knows, if you've ever watched any of the Twit podcasts, it's on twit.tv is the website. They have a multitude of podcasts. And most of them, actually, back up. All of them, they have both an audio and a video feed. So you can actually watch them talk and interact with each other, like a talk show on TV. So you get their expressions and so forth. There's something nice about that. Obviously, if you're listening to a podcast in your car where you are or just walking about, you don't really care about the video. And actually, for me, that's what I've gotten to with all of my podcasts, which is all my podcasts. I used to actually have some that were video, some were audio, and now I just go purely with audio. And if there's something that's part of a show that I really want to see in video form, there are sometimes like on Twiat, which is this week in Enterprise Technology. And there's something in for that. Then what I'll do is I'll actually bring up the episode on twit.tv and I'll actually watch the video. Now, I'll agree there are some portions of this show that when we do monthly reviews of the Shapeways miniatures, that I think that would be very useful. I think people actually would enjoy it because then I could do a screen share. People could actually watch it as I review it, you know, and point to different portions. And if, in theory, if I could actually also annotate my screen, which I think I can do, I'd have to double check. But if I could annotate my screen, in which case, you know, pointing out this thing and this thing and this thing, then that would be perfect for recording. I don't know, but maybe we'll wait and see on starting a video portion of this, because also the big issue there is going to be bandwidth. It's going to up the amount of bandwidth that's going to be required to do the recording and send the recording to those people who are just listening. For those people, sorry, one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of this podcast, which is I apologize for no podcast last week. As I mentioned earlier, they basically talked you through this at us. Gave us, you know, said, oh, we got a sandbox. You can play with it now. Now, if this podcast was the only thing I did during the week after my day job, I probably could have done it. But I had no, it's like, dudes. The whole idea of a sandbox, or in this case, what I call beta, is to give people the ability to give feedback. Now, there's certain things about the new website that I really have found to be annoying. The first one is if you go into the listing of the shows. Actually, I'll go there in a moment. Let me first finish off when it comes to the actual chat room interface. Chat room interface is nice. The one thing that I find actually annoying about the chat room interface is that there is a way of, you can click people and you say, okay, I want to mute this person. And what does it do? It prompts me, are you sure you want to do this? And I go, yes. Which to me, and how do you, the way you to unmute and mute people is that you click on this little icon. Now, to me, that makes no sense. Why are you prompting me? You want to make sure I truly want to mute this person. Okay, let's say I accidentally mute someone. What's the issue? Okay, you cut them off for a moment, but you can easily fix that issue relatively quickly. You just click it, and then you click it again. And you go from muted to unmuted. So I don't see any reason to have that additional prompt just to make sure. You know, because that's one of those things that you always have to, when it comes to the UIs, you always have to worry about, not worry about, but the whole idea of too many prompts, too many pop-ups. You know, because actually I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Three Moves Ahead, and they were talking about The Cultist. It's interesting. It's kind of a weird kind of game where you're trying to be a cult leader. And the big issue they had with the game is that they don't really, the cult, it doesn't give hints. And one of them said, you know, I'm going to say something which I rarely ever say, which is I want more pop-ups. Basically, he wants some hints about in the UI of how to use the UI, because it gets no clue about, okay, what things go where. So you just kind of have to fumble around and try it out. And hopefully you actually figure things out, because actually there was a Reddit thread that was mentioned in the podcast. It's how there was a Reddit post about it. And he said, oh, you know, I figured it out. It took me 50 hours. 50 hours of play time. It's like, jeez. That's crazy, you know. But anyhow, I'll admit I like the new interface. One thing that currently bugs me is something we just found out tonight, which is there is no streaming of the audio until you press record. So until you press record, there is no audio. So basically, you can't do any pre-show. Actually, in theory, you can do some pre-show. But then you have to edit it out to get rid of the pre-show. You know? It's goofy. Oh, by the way, I did have a nice long discussion with... Oh, okay. I already mentioned that we didn't have... Okay. Let me finish off the thought about last week's show. Last week's show, we didn't have a recording for y'all who are... download the podcast religiously and listen to my lovely voice and talk about multiple discussions about multiple topics. I'm hoping that this is more of a wine session about talk show and less about Starfleet Universe on call. So if you want to, you can fast forward to the latter part of this podcast if you really want to. But anyhow, I actually had a nice little discussion with them, and he's saying, you know, I told him about my difficulties in getting a recording. And one thing he mentioned is like, oh, yep, you should always record on the cloud. It's so much easier. Actually, I don't think he ever said it was so much easier. He said that the quality is a lot better than it was previously. And I can say for a fact that, actually, I don't know, to be honest. Because you know how long it has been since I actually was able to use the TalkShoe app on my Mac. It's been over 5 years, if not longer, since I've been able to actually use the actual TalkShoe app, because of they never upgraded it. They never upgraded from using PowerPC. That, you know, that architecture. So you could actually run it on an older one in the PowerPC, and then actually that was supported for a long time. You know, under the Mac OS, and then maybe a little longer ago, the Mac operating system stopped supporting it. It's like, okay, I kept on waiting for TalkShoe to upgrade their app, and they never did. So I've done multiple things over the years, from using a VoIP client, a SIP client. So they actually have a SIP IP address that you could connect to in TalkShoe to do it that way, or you can dial in. Now, I can say for a fact that, and you know, he's saying, you know, the person was saying, oh, you know, you should do this. Now, the one thing that I did find out, which I find highly, highly annoying. TalkShoe requires, not, it's not an option, it requires you to use Chrome to do any recording whatsoever. If you are the moderator, you must use Chrome. The only thing I did, I pointed out to the person, like, I hope that you'll still look into using supporting other browsers and not just stick to Chrome. Because in this case, in my current use case, where I'm dialing in via Skype because I want to record locally because I'm unable to record via the browser. Don't ask me. If I try to record the audio end of the browser, I can't. It doesn't work. I'm not sure why it doesn't work. It just does not work. So I can't. I have to call in via Skype. Now, one thing I definitely found out is that if you record via Skype, you know, the remote recording is degraded versus if you don't use Skype, you use the Chrome browser to send the audio. If you use Chrome browser to send the audio, it's much better quality than dialing in via Skype. Which, to a degree, makes sense. It's obviously there's that portal that they have, which converts POTS into, you know, a digital recording. So compared to the browser, which is all digital, so it's going to be a. But since there's no conversion, therefore there's no loss in quality. Obviously, if TalkShoe put in the money, they could actually upgrade to a higher quality analog to digital converters, so that, you know, it could be close to, if not the same quality as you get from the browser. Obviously, it requires additional investment, which I don't think they're looking into actually doing. But even though I'm dialing in, so all my audio is going through the phone, I'm still required to use Chrome. Now, I can understand it. I actually, believe it or not, I can actually understand this, that if they want to require that I use Chrome if I'm going to try to use purely internet, you know, based, you know, browser-based audio, both in, you know, both using the mic via the browser and also, you know, the sound, you know, back at me. Would be the browser. I can actually understand that greatly. Oh boy. So that I can understand, you know, but this whole thing about you have to use Chrome to actually record is kind of, it's total BS in my mind. You know, what it sounds like is that the developers developed it using Chrome and didn't even think to support other browsers. Either that or TalkShoe, you know, the people who currently own TalkShoe pushed it out. Said, no, we got because it was, come on. When you have a sandbox, when you have a beta available for 2 weeks and then you push it out the door, I'm sorry, that's rushed. And you say, oh, no, that's the way the cloud works. No, that's not the way the cloud works. That's the way you break things. This is a major revision. This is not a quick update, A to B testing and all that kind of thing that the whole idea of cloud is supposed to support. This is get a brand new look and feel to TalkShoe. And I think the whole idea was to basically get more people onto TalkShoe. I'm not sure if it will help or not, because I've yet to see any advertising around the net for TalkShoe. I'm not sure how they expect to get more people involved. You know, obviously part of getting more people involved into using TalkShoe is going to be improving the website, redoing the website, and have so it's more modern look. Yes, I understand that. But after that, then you have the marketing portion, which is required. The push. You know, whether I know they've got some things on their Twitter feeds that have mentioned it, but you know, even Twitter can be ignored. Where the big question obviously is, where do you go to advertise it so people use it? I don't know. So anyhow, that, you know, so that I find that annoying, you know. So there's a few things about the new talk shoe that I find annoying there. Obviously, I apologize for not putting out a podcast last week because we were given 2 weeks, and they didn't give us any heads up whatsoever saying, oh, we're going to be going live. They just said, tomorrow we're going to go live. It's like, what? So I figured, okay, they're going to go live with it. I have not looked at the new interface at all because I didn't expect it. You know, I didn't expect them to drop functionality. I didn't expect them to require Chrome. I did not expect them to totally change things around to make it next to impossible to use my previous workflow. You know? So, I apologize for not putting out one because I spent, half the time. I spent 30 minutes trying to get it to work the way I used to work, you know, using Safari and just calling in and then having so that I can just, you know, start recording via Safari. No, you got to go in. The whole workflow is different. You have to go in. Okay, you have your scheduled episode like you've always had. And then you have to say join studio. And the only way you can do join studio is you must have Chrome. So what's one of the things I had to do last week? I had to download and install Chrome. Well, not install Chrome, but I downloaded Chrome. I'm running on Mac, so I don't have to actually install the app to run the app. It's just I leave it in the drive image, and I don't install it. Because every single time that I'm done with it, I shut it down, and I close the drive image. So nothing gets installed from Chrome because I don't want Chrome on my box. Call me paranoid. I just don't like Google knowing everything I do on the net. You know, I just don't like it. But I know that's a personal thing for me. Yes, as Dave was pointing out, we did battle with TalkShoe, which is interesting. Oh, that's one thing that I discovered is that one of the brand new features, which is awesome and sucks at the same time, depends upon who you are. One of the new features they have available is you can do transcripts. It will do an automated transcript of the voice chat. And I noticed this came up last week. Is that I said, oh, here's your transcript. I looked at the transcript and I noticed that it's saying Barry and these other people. And I'm going, actually, I was mainly Barry because Barry's the only one he actually called in. So we had a little chat. And my conversation with him was basically transcribed. And I went, I don't like that. I understand that transcriptions are great. There's one gotcha. And I have not tested this out yet. This is one thing I have not had a chance to. Because I didn't know you actually could turn it. I didn't really realize about the transcripts until late last week. And then I had the whole issue with... I didn't have much time this week. So I worked on, like, for an hour or two earlier today, creating a new show, an unlisted show for doing testing on. And so I wasn't sure if my concern, here's my concern, that if I upload a new version of the podcast, which I do every single time, I trim it, I edit it, the transcript for the actual recording will still be there if I enable the transcription function. So what I'm right now doing is I'm disabling the transcription because I don't want my podcast to be transcribed. The only reason I don't want the podcast to be transcribed is because of I want to make sure that what I actually post up there is what gets transcribed. And the thing is, from the looks of it, the transcription is a combination of voice and text. So basically, the chat room will be in there. But in addition to the chat room, it'll also have the voice. And it'll transcribe the voice. So it, which is kind of cool. I like the idea of it. It's kind of a neat thing. But here's the one issue. That is, if you do, say, transcribe, what happens if you upload an audio version? Does it then unsync it between what your recording that you uploaded and the chat room was for that recording? Because of the big thing there is that I don't, the whole idea of uploading afterwards is to basically produce the podcast. That is, I'm in the past, I've had, oh, that's grand. In the past, I've had some issues where people stop in, they call up, I let them in, and then they go off the rails, and I have to kick them out. And then afterwards, what I do is I go and I actually delete them from the podcast as if they never existed, as if they never interrupted me. So it's as if nothing happened. Now, I'll have to admit that was a rare thing. It has not happened that often. And that's great. You know, it's nice to have. But if that transcription stays with the old podcast, the old podcast that I upload, it doesn't transcribe the new one and then basically get rid of the chat or keeps, you know, because what happens then? Does it transcribe the voice and drop off the chat, or how does it handle that? And I have not actually asked about that. I have not played around with that. I haven't had a chance to answer all these questions that I have about TalkShoe. You know, they give us no heads up whatsoever that they were going to actually take the new updates that they put in Sandbox and activate them in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. You know? So it's crazy. And of course, one of the things that they did do, I'm not sure if you're listening to this podcast, which I'm sure you are, because only two other people at the moment, they need to double check, is that I have two people, Russ and Dave. So, where was I? Crap. So I don't know what would happen in that case. Also, one thing about the chat room that I also find really annoying at the moment is that I can't watch the chat and watch people drop in and out at the same time. You know? Yeah, go. So that's one thing that's bad about the new interface. You know, basically, you can either keep an eye on the participants or you keep an eye on the chat. You can't do both. Because, okay, I just want to double check here. Because we got, oh, great. I'm sure you guys just heard that, which is, I was actually just watching the participants list. And what happened? Dave entered something in the chat room. Now, that means that the only way what I'm going to do is, if I want to keep an eye out for participants that actually dial in or even stop in the chat, I have to keep an eye on the participants, and I have to, every once in a while, you're going to probably hear a boop. I don't want that. I don't want to have any audio indication that someone's, I don't mind the pop-up. A pop-up is nice, but I don't want that sound on my recording. And I'm saying, they say, well, if you do, you know, the remote cloud recording, then you don't have this. I don't want that. I don't even want the sound. You know, let me just check this for giggles. Nope. Because one thing I decided, okay, let's check to see they have a settings, and they do not have a setting for that. Same for the details. It looks like there's no way to control that. So, looks like I'm going to be sending out another feedback to TalkShoe this week about another things to complain about. Because another thing that is really difficult to do, I can't quite remember with the previous one. Actually, no. I know for the previous one. And that is all your actions for a single episode. After you did that action on that episode, it would bring you back to the general list. At the moment, you can do those actions, but you can do this for that episode. But it won't bring you back to the general. There's no way it's not even editing. You just look at a separate episode. There's no way to get back to the general list easily. Unless you want, in theory, I can probably do a back arrow, but I don't want to do a back arrow. Because you never know if back arrow is going to work properly or not. Depends upon the web app. Because if the web app actually is just a web app, i.e. it doesn't pay attention to history, which is possible, then that's going to just flake it out. And you'll be dumped probably to maybe the main screen in that case. If it's basically like a single window browser app, you know, I've not tried this out. I will probably be doing that later tonight after I get off the call with you guys. So, sorry, but at least I'm going to probably give them a heck of a lot of feedback about multiple things that are about the UI, which do not work. And to me, this feels very, very rushed. The user interface looks nice. It works nice. But there are these little gotchas that really bug me. It's like, guys, have you actually tried to do a recording? You gave us 2 weeks. Most people, I'm willing to bet most of the podcasters, most people who do shows do it once a week. I'm sure there's some that do daily, but I think that's a rarity. I think most people currently, the current string of people, I'm not talking about new people, because if you actually go to TalkShoe and you go to the main page, it's a different beast altogether. You know, you can actually see the features in live shows, and currently, since we're recording, we're one of those featured in live shows because we're live, which is cool, you know. But, you know, it's just crazy. Go to my shows. I'm just going to do this thing really quick. And let's go to unlisted. Let's go to this one. Let's go to this show. And then let's say, what happens if I do back? Okay, back arrow actually brings me back to the previous list. Okay, so it looks like the back arrow actually works, which is good to know that at least the back arrow works. Oy. So it's crazy, you know. They didn't give us nearly enough time. So let me just look at this, close this up. Okay, there's, of course, since I'm not recording, I'm not sharing my screen, I'm not doing any video, I've got this screen, which is a white screen with just me. Now, I did previously call in before, on a separate line to see how that works. And actually, it shows up on the bottom. Now, that's fine for when people call in. But for us, call-ins are rare. And even then, you know, I have this one person left to call. My guess is that they were a chat room person. Yeah. Actually, it's just a left call. Didn't say if they called in or not or what. So I guess we'll deal with it at the moment. You know, as I mentioned before, we tried out for those people on the who are listening on the podcast, I'm sure we did have a little thank you, Russ. Russ is saying, "Oh, Troll Shoot Live, only on the Chrome Crapper and free until you want it to work, and then you must provide a credit card number and your everlasting soul." I like it. It's not that. But, you know, as we've tried in the past, I gave a report last month on this, which was the possibility of switching to Discord, because TalkShoe had been acquired for over a year at that point, and I had heard nothing about TalkShoe, nothing about them improving it, instead of just sticking with. In fact, it had gotten worse. You know, and I can understand now. I understand how that happened, how it got worse. Because what happened in my mind is that they took off the people, or possibly the people who were maintaining the old site, they fired, let go, or those people quit. One of those two. I'm not sure which. Doesn't matter at the moment. But they, with the TalkShoe, you know, uploading would give these errors, which I had never seen before the acquisition. You know, so at that point, I was thinking about moving to Discord and have people, download the Discord app and just go that way, and then figure out that if, you know, like people like Gene or Steve Patrick or one of those needed to dial in, you know, maybe have them download the Discord app, or, you know, use a browser that supports Discord, or, you know, actually have it so that, you know, they can call in to me on Skype, because I could actually upgrade my subscription to have a Skype in number, basically one that where you can call and it will go right to Skype. Because currently I have the Skype out. I have actually can call different phone numbers, you know, local phone numbers, and I'm good. You know, it costs me, I think it's like $30 a year, something like that. It's not expensive. $30 for a whole year, you know, I can afford that. You know, it's not expensive at all. And you know, that was one of the things we were thinking about. So I'm still keeping that in the peripheral view of me. So, the, But at the moment, it seems like TalkShoe is working okay. You know, it's still, you know, we lost some functionality. Some of the ease in use of the interface, the way they had it set up, which I liked, went away. You know, because one thing they had, which I thought was really simple, which is you have this list of people, and then beside the list of people, you had different icons. And depending upon whether the icon was enabled or disabled, that person could be actively. There was mainly two main icons. One was voice, the other one was chat. And you could mute and unmute both of those individually. So if someone called in, you actually could, you know, unmute them when you need to unmute them. And if they were being a butthead in chat, you could say, boom. You can mute them so they can actually, if they want to, they can watch. And also you have the ability to kick them out of the room. You know, if you want to do it that way, in my mind, I prefer the more passive method of just blocking from saying anything. If you want to stick around. You know, I don't want to cut you off, but... I'd rather be passive than just type so you can't type anything. You can't bother people, you know. And obviously, in some cases, in the case of Discord, one of the options would be, because you could probably do DMs to people, I'd have to possibly kick people off, you know, which, you know, if they're being buff-based. But, of course, when it comes to Discord... Here's the thing. If we actually switch to Discord, which would be more of a I'm looking for the word that is it's not central. It's decentralized to when it comes to the user groups, you know, and logins and that kind of thing. For the different servers, each server has control over who comes in, who does not. You know, you can kick people and so forth. And if you don't know about a server, you really aren't going to find it. At least that's my understanding at the moment with Discord. Obviously, you can find it. Because if you can't find the Discord server, you're not going to get anyone to log in. So... But at the moment, we're still staying with TalkShoe at the moment. So we saw the nice functionality of people calling in and so forth, which is nice, you know. But we'll just have to wait and see. Still don't like that. Having to go back and forth. It's kind of nutty. Okay. Well, I'm gonna move on to... Sorry for you who wanted to avoid the whole TalkShoe talk. It seems like that's most of the discussion for this week. But, you know, overall, the TLDR version is basically we're going to stick with TalkShoe at the moment, but we'll still keep our options open to move to Discord. I promise you, for those of you who are downloading the podcast, if we ever move to Discord, you guys should be unaffected. In so that basically what I will do is I will still upload them to TalkShoe. I'll upload the different podcasts to TalkShoe, even though I've recorded outside of TalkShoe. And I'll still upload them to the main sfuoncall.com site. So you'll be fine there too. So actually that reminds me, I need to check that out. That's one thing that I never... did check. I forget if... okay. So it's good. I was concerned there for a moment that I had let the SFU on call certificate expire, and it is not, which is good to see. So you can, you know... That's one thing, actually, I need, that's coming back to the second part of this podcast that I want to discuss, which was priorities. Where are my priorities when it comes to the different tasks, the different things that I want to get done this year? Because I set up those goals, and I mentioned before a couple weeks ago that I've actually been reading a book on how basically to better organize myself, because Lord knows I'm sometimes a disorganized mess. And I know how it is for me, which is if I try to keep too many things in my brain, what happens is I forget things. That's the time when I should start writing things down. And right now I've gotten pretty good at writing things down. Of course, I still don't have them organized into a way that I like. I actually started back working on OmniFocus. Looks like the new interface looks a little better. The big thing for me was just the whole idea of outlines. Now, actually, there was one thing I actually ran into when it comes to my tasks. I find this interesting. I'll chase this rabbit just for the moment. And that is that one thing that I figured out, which is, and actually it's something that's actually kind of related, it's kind of related to the book, because the book mentions the whole idea of pointers. But most of the time, the book talks about pointers in reflection to, you have your task app. And then from your task app, you have pointers to other apps, to other sources of information. The pointers I'm thinking about is actually, it's a different way of doing things. It's kind of goofy. And that is one thing that, you know, when it comes to Warlord, I have a certain amount of tasks that I want to complete. And let me just see if I can bring up my projects. And yeah, that's it. There are certain projects, certain tasks / projects that I wanted to work on. You know, I got different projects. Now, one of the things when it comes to, okay, comes to growing as the Starfleet Warlord. Some of the things that I wanted for growing it, I said, okay, there are certain things I want to change about the website. Something simple as change the initial email that welcome people. The whole idea of that would be pointing them to like a tutorial or some other things of helping them to onboard them. The whole idea is onboarding. And I know that will help actually grow Starfleet Warlord in that case. Also, I need like an onboard page where I can send people to this link, and that link will introduce them into Starfleet Warlord instead of them having to hit the website and hopefully find out the information, instead of having them, you know, make it easier to them to capture their email address, in which case I can onboard them more. I can just say, okay, here's a tutorial, blah, 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 and hopefully get the ball rolling that way. But one of the things I want to do is, it says, create simplified Starfleet Warlord. Now, that creating that simplified version of Starfleet Warlord, that's a whole project by itself. And that's when I need kind of a pointer. I don't want in the grow Starfleet Warlord project, I don't want to have to specify the whole project of how to create a simplified version of Starfleet Warlord. That to me is a separate project. I currently have a single task, create a simplified version of Starfleet Warlord. That actually will point to a project, which will actually be the whole project. And, you know, so that to me was kind of interesting thing that I didn't really realize at the time, which is the whole idea of when you have projects which are made up of tasks, some of those tasks are actually projects in themselves. And in that case, you, in my mind, you don't want to have a project within a project. Because in that case, you're just confusing it. It really just should be a task, which is here, do this project, you know. Now, and of course, you needed to actually have write down the project, because one thing actually they're talking about in the book, which is you need tasks should be broken down to a point where you can get it accomplished in a short period of time. For example, change initial email to welcome people. That actually might take a while, but that's one of those things I do not see how you can simplify that more. And that's the whole idea of the book. It says, okay, if a task can't be simplified anymore, it should be like a single step. In this case, it is a simple single step. It's create the actual content of the email. Now, actually, that might actually change into a task because of part of things are always more complicated than they actually initially seem. For example, there's another one which I'm thinking about doing. I don't want to talk about it here because invariably when I talk about it, people get excited about it or they say, oh, cool, you're doing that. Yeah, I'm going to be doing that sometime in the future. When will I get it done? I have not got it done, so I don't want to talk about it. Because I've had it happen in the past where I say, oh, you know, are you interested? And they say, yes. When can I start? And I go, I'm just measuring interest. I won't have anything for another 6 months. You know, in which case, and I'm not sure I don't know how to handle that. How do you handle the whole idea of measuring interest to people without them getting so excited about the idea that, you know, by the time you get around to implementing the idea, because the idea is going to take you, maybe, and like I said, the one idea, it's going to take me like 6 months to do. You know, because it's going to take me 6 months to do, you know, I want to know whether it's worth it to actually start it. And then, you know, I got other different projects, and I'm hoping actually with OmniFocus, because currently I've been slacking with OmniFocus, because actually I was into it, using it for a bit of time. So for that bit of time, you know, I was trying to be really good about tracking my tasks, you know, mark them off, try and keep that up. And that's not me. To me, that's one thing that this book I'm reading is all about. It's trying to understand you. How do you work best? And therefore create the priorities. Now, let's get back to the actual, what I meant to talk about for today, which is priorities. What are my priorities when it comes to completing goals for the end of year? One of those, of course, is converting second generation to third gen. If you get those like 90%, at least 90% done, but one of those things, obviously, that I need to do for that is I need to come up with the list of what needs to be converted. Bug Steve Cole about the background art so that those can be done. Now, it's possible that at this point, Steve Cole doesn't care anymore. In which case, we can stop all that, which actually I would not want to, because of, for me, what I want to do with that is, if I'm going to do part of it, I want to do all of it. Because to me, it's silly to have an incongruent interface, you know? So that's currently, that's a long-standing, well, it's kind of a rolling priority. Obviously, the one thing that we want to do is have it so that people can actually log into, can go onto the website and actually watch a game without actually having to download the client. And then, of course, then there's the whole one, which was if I recall correctly, I have to double check my list. But if I recall correctly, it was that the Starfleet Warlord Aid, I was going to have a web-based Starfleet Warlord Aid. And, of course, it's now August, and I haven't got much done when it comes to the web-based game. I call it the web-based game board. I've got some things done for that. The problem is that I'm currently having with it is that for that is I'm having problems with the server itself and it not working quite well. Though the funny part is, I gotta tell you, I went back to OmniFocus and actually I had this project already created previously. Of course, you know how long it's been since I actually put this in? I put this in like 3 or 4 years ago that I wanted to do this. So I wrote it up quickly. But I've gotten farther down the road for this. So the first part is going to be stabilizing the UI and make sure the web-based interface, the JSON, because it's going to be web services. It's what it's going to be doing. And making sure that those web services work properly. After we get to that point, then we can start actually having so it can grab the data and interpret it. So the first one actually is probably the first goal is actually have it so that you can go into a web page and actually just chat. That was the first goal. For this, so that after I get that done, then we can start thinking about the actual game board and things like that. Where's my priority when it comes to all of that? I think the priority is going to be SFB Online is where I want it to be. Here's the thing about that. And that is that SFB Online is a constant revenue stream at the moment. It's small, but constant. Where the money is for me is going to be Warlord. Because there's so much more. If you've been listening to me to this podcast long enough, you know that for a long time it has been. And I do mean a long time that it has been that I have been, I've seen that Warlord is the growth opportunity. But hopefully, I can have some more growth opportunities. And hopefully with me getting a little bit organized and setting my priorities and getting things done outside of work, because that's one thing the book talks about that I'm reading. And that is that it talks about, there's a couple ways of managing projects, doing this thing. And I think the way I want to do it is not listed. Which is basically, for me, I'm going to have basically two different task management kind of utilities kind of thing. Ways of managing tasks. I have one for managing tasks outside of my daytime job. And the other one's for inside my daytime job. Because they're two different tool sets, two totally different things, two different aspects of my life. I'm not talking about the whole idea of he mentions your work-life balance. And that's not what I'm talking about here. There's sometimes where there is an intersection between the two. Between what I have to get done and my daytime job. But that's a rare thing. You know, I have appointments where I have to go, and those things I have to get done during the day. The certain things that I can do during my lunch. But other than that, everything else is related to my job, and my way of doing things for my daytime job is usually I have like three different ways of managing those tasks, and some of those tasks has nothing to do with me. Has to do with people sending me emails. Oh, can you do this? You know, and so what's happened is my inbox has become my to-do list. And then I pick up an email, and then I will go over and look at it and see if I can do it or not. And of course, the longer the email, the longer it takes me to actually get back to it. But that doesn't surprise me in the least. So when it comes to priorities, I want to prioritize for Warlord, but I don't think I can. I think I have to do something for SFB Online to show that I'm actually working towards that. For Warlord, that is the future opportunity. That is where all the growth is going to be, and that's where I'm actually going to be able to pay the bills. Keep running things, you know. Though I must admit, there's one thing that I saw this week which surprised the heck out of me, which is looked like there was like a couple, I think, signed up for SFB Online. And it's like, you're gonna teach her how to play on SFB Online. Okay, you can do that. Weird, but you can do that. So, should be interesting. Hopefully it's for FedCom. That interface, I really need to work on that and see how. It's one of those kind of weird things about the FedCom Online. As I've mentioned before, it was a new approach, and the approach didn't work out all that well. It's better now. But still, there are certain aspects which it makes it hard to override what it is, because the whole idea of it was to actually implement those things. You know, to have it so that you don't have to know the rules, so that the program itself will implement the rules and it'll make sure you don't do things wrong. So, and also the library, that's one thing all these people are like, oh, I haven't implemented the Andromeda's PA panels. And it's like, yeah. And I just realized I don't have Andromeda. I don't think I have the images either. I have to double check on that one. Because I've got, that's one of those things that I have to add a task for, which is organize my computer, which is crazy. I'm not sure how to start because I have to do cleanup because I got all this kind of stuff all over the hard drive. I do not know what is where. On the local hard drive, I have some external stuff, which I know where things are for things that are external, but everything that's on internal in my home directory, no clue. Well, I know where some things are, but then there's some additional stuff which is laying around. It's like, okay, why do I have this? I don't know. Can I throw it out? I don't know. That's the more important thing. Can I throw it out? Because this is most probably I can throw it out and I'll probably never miss it. But some of the stuff is like images, some work that was done for FedCom Online for the library way back when. And have those been implemented? Where is it? In the process, have those ships been entered into the library? You know, where's all this? I don't know. And those are things that I have to open those up individually in the client itself to find out where it is. So it's a very tedious process. So I think with that, we will wrap up for this evening. Hopefully it was interesting, if not very, very much rantish when it comes to TalkShoe and just give me abreast of priorities in the way I see them at the moment. You know, I'm hoping that people will enjoy the products that Friends Games offers, and obviously products that ADB offers, because that's the important thing here. You know, I will keep an eye on TalkShoe. Hopefully, I will give them feedback about certain things about the interface, which I do not like, and hopefully they can improve it. Obviously, the one thing, as I mentioned, was the chat room and the participants when it comes to the actual room for recording. You know, if they want to say, well, you want to do that, then just keep up participates and have it to, you know, have those notifications that there's a new chat. Well, I would be happy to do that, except for you make a sound every single time that happens, and I don't want that sound to be recorded as part of my podcast. So, you know, so have to wait and see how that all turns out. Hopefully, they can improve it more, and I can give them all kinds of lovely feedback. I got lots of it. So, had a nice little discussion about TalkShoe and my rantiness. Gave you some ideas of where my priorities lie and where I'm trying to focus my time now. And hopefully I can reach at least one goal, if not both goals. And I will also, obviously, at this point, it's already August. It's month 8 of a 12-month year. So, already two-thirds. Through the year. So I have one third left. So I have to see where my priorities lie and where I can actually focus my attention. I know where I want to. I'm going to see, in addition to those two major tests, if there's anything minor that I mentioned previously and have not completed or have not kept in mind. Hopefully, with my new approach on task management, I will do better. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.